Welcome back to this week's edition of the Midweek Reality Check with Michael Pinto, where I try to keep Wall Street and your money real. I want to wish you all a very belated Merry Christmas and Happy Hanukkah. I apologize, I forgot to do it last week. But I hope you all had a wonderful and safe holiday. So let's get right into the meat and potatoes of the podcast. Here are some facts about the sell-off predicted back in April that began in October 3rd to be precise. Excluding today's very violent bear market bounce, and that's what it was, a bounce in a bear market, 85% of S&P 500 stocks suffered a correction of 10% or more. 60% were in a bear market. That means they were down at least 20%. That's U.S. stocks. The emerging markets, China, and Europe cases are even worse. The crash my model predicted is in the process of occurring. I think we're probably, if you want to use the baseball analogy, probably, second, maybe third inning. In fact, Wall Street is suffering its worst December before today, its worst December since 1931. Now, I laugh. I have to chuckle at the crybabies on CNBC that manage money. They have been massively long the entire year and have been begging, supplicating the Fed for more money printing crack cocaine to support the stock market. Now, the question for me is, what is the Fed's true role? I mean, is it to support the economy or just to make sure the stock market never returns to reality and never has a down month or a down year? Now, the sad answer to that question is both. Because the financialization of the U.S. economy has made it so that the stock market is the U.S. economy. There isn't any damn difference. Now, the Fed doesn't want to admit this yet, but due to a decade of free money, the stock market grew to become 1.5 times the size of the underlying economy at its peak in September. Therefore, any significant drop in stocks wreaks havoc on the credit markets and the consumption-driven consumer, which GDP growth has become completely dependent upon. Hence, the Fed is now just months away from standing pat on interest rate hikes and then will shortly thereafter cease draining its balance sheet. But that will only occur after a lot more pain is suffered with stocks in the market and the economic data gets much worse, and I mean a lot worse. So what happens come January? Okay, so you predicted the stock market was going to fall this October. Got that right. But what's next? Are we just going to make, 5-6% and then go away and then forget about next year? Let's go look ahead and see what good news lies ahead for us, Pinto Portfolio Strategies investors, next year. Will the stock market rebound in 2019 like almost every pundit predicts? Here's what investors have to look forward to in the first half of next year. There will be really pretty significant chaos in Washington, D.C. That's guaranteed. Government shutdown, budget sequestration showdowns, debt ceiling brinkmanship, the Mueller's investigation results. That's all coming in early and the first half of 2016, massive DC chaos. QE on a net global basis goes negative as the ECB gets completely out, European Central Bank, gets completely out of the balance sheet expansion business. They do that in a matter of days. Completely stop the printing of 15 billion euros. That will mean on a net basis QE goes negative. From $180 billion 2 years ago. That means the massive amount of debt and deficits worldwide must be supported by the private sector now. In the U.S., this means our $1 trillion deficit is going to suck capital from the free market in record proportions. The record amount of over $1 trillion worth of stock buybacks, which didn't help at all in 2018, will surely not be anywhere near that level in 2019. The one-time boost from the Repatriation and Tax Reform Act is being lapped next year. Also, the issuing of debt to buy back shares is now a much more expensive endeavor, and the cash flow from a rapidly slowing economy to repurchase those shares will be much less. Earnings per share growth will crash from 25% in 2018 to zero, or could even go negative as GDP growth plummets from over 4%, where it was in the second quarter of 2018, to 1% in Q1 next year. Continuing on, China will continue to weaken, and that will help bring down global growth even more sharply. The European Union could unravel as peripheral debt sucks all available capital away from growth, and yields soar in Portugal and Spain and France and Italy to 2000 and Greece, 2012 crisis levels. The junk bond and leveraged loan market, which has already shut down in December, starts to send the 14% of zombie companies located in the S&P 500 into default, causing chaos with unemployment claims and consumer demand. Also, next year marks the end of the front-running of Trump's trade war, which occurred in 2018 and temporarily boosted GDP. Now, I can think of only two really positive things occurring in 2019. One of them is only kind of like a mealy mouth, kind of like kiss your sister positive. The other one could be hugely positive, but that's going to occur later on in 2019. So the first one is, I believe firmly that in January, the trade war is going to be old news. So Trump is going to get the best deal out of China, and Xi Jinping will agree on the best thing these two gentlemen, Trump and Xi Jinping, can come up with, something that they can both take a victory out of, shake hands, and declare an end to the trade war. I think that happens in January, latest February, but it's going to happen. That's my base case scenario. But that is not, I repeat, that is not what has caused the stock market to crumble. The stock market is crumbling because of two reasons. Global growth is slowing because of what's going on in China and in Europe. It was crumbling because of the strong dollar. And the genesis, the nucleus of all this, is the tightening of interest rates globally, the end of QE, and the Fed's 9 rate hikes. And the other thing, that brings me to the other thing, that positive is probably going to happen later on. So first of all, you're going to have, well, let me finish my thought first. So the change in central bank monetary policies is going to occur sometime in 2019. But before that change occurs, that 180 degree flip occurs, they're going to have to stop doing what they're doing. So the Federal Reserve is going to have to stop raising interest rates. It's going to have to stop quantitative tightening or reverse QE. And that's one step. But in my opinion, the Fed has already tightened too much. And the draining of its balance sheet is already so constrictive on growth that just ceasing that action isn't going to be enough. So central banks around the world, in the latter part of 2019, in response to the debacle that's still ahead of us, that's still in the second or third inning, are going to change to dramatically looser monetary policy. So the Fed is going to cut rates, go back into QE. The ECB is going to go back into QE. And that, I think, after a while, and my model will tell me, you can't just go, you know, if the ECB says I'm going back to QE, you can't just buy stocks. If the Fed says I stopped raising interest rates, you can't just buy stocks. You have to have that model in the process. So that 20-point model is going to let me know when the water is calm and safe to go back into. You think about what happened in 2008. You couldn't just start buying stocks when Ben Bernanke started cutting interest rates because the worst was ahead of us. You have to have a process that's and a model built on data and math. That's what I will. That's what I have, and that's what I will use. So clients of Pento Portfolio Strategies are not just surviving this current stock market bust, but we're actually thriving, doing pretty well. However, I believe and I'm 100% confident our best days are ahead of us. And my model predicts in early 2019, there will be a great rally in short-term bond prices. And most importantly, the long-awaited super spike in precious metals will begin. To this end, Bloomberg reported, and it's been verified by many other sources, that President Trump discussed the firing of Jerome Powell, last week, but decided against it after he was told it was not in his power to do so. Now, I find it ironic that according to Trump, the greatest economy in American history can't survive a Fed funds rate that is less than half its historical average. The Fed funds rate should be around 5, 6%. We're 2.25, 2.5. And the wheels are coming off the economy. So what's the truth? The truth is, this isn't the greatest economy in the world or that America has ever seen. But rather, it is the most over-leveraged and asset bubble-infected economy ever. That's why rising rates, are so pernicious. Therefore, it is most susceptible to what's happening with the Fed as far as the rising cost of capital and reverse QE. Now, I closed out my shorts. This is all verifiable. I'm not making stuff up here. I closed out all of my short positions 2 trading days ago and suffered no loss at all in today's 1,000-point rally in the Dow. I will look to re-enter those shorts between tomorrow and early January because nothing has been fixed and nothing has changed. The only thing different now is I get to re-enter my short positions at a much higher level. Sell high, buy low. I want to close by saying thank you so much for being a part of Penta Portfolio Strategies. I so much enjoy my job. I work very hard to make sure that our clients are protected, their principal is safe as much as I can, and that we make money in all environments. Whatever happens, an up market or down market. 2018 was a good year for us. And may God bless all of us with a great 2019. Thank you so much for listening to this edition of The Reality Check, 5 minutes of sanity in an insane world. Please remember, if you're not already an investor with PPS, you can email me directly using mpento@pentoport.com or call the office using 732-772-9500 to get information about our portfolio services. You should also go to Amazon and order my book, The Coming Bond Market Collapse. Subscribers should contact an investment advisor before acting on any information contained in this podcast. No information on this podcast constitutes an offer to sell or buy any financial instruments or to provide any investment services. Subscribers understand there's an inherent risk in investing. PPS is a registered investment advisor.